Colin and Richard shared a look.
But how did you know we were coming to be married?
Chandalin shrugged.
The birdman told me.
As they entered the village, they were surrounded by a flood of people. Children swept in around them, touching the wandering mud people, as they called Richard and Colin. People they knew came to give them gentle slaps in greeting. Savidlin was there, clapping Richard on the back, and his wife, Wesselin, was hugging and kissing them both. Their son, Sidin, threw his arms around Colin's leg, jabbering up at them in his language. It felt so good to ruffle his hair again. Richard and Kara didn't understand any of it. Only Chandalin spoke their language.
"We have come to be married," Colin told Wesselin. "I brought the beautiful dress you made for me. I hope you remember that I asked you to stand with me."
Wesselin beamed.
"I remember."
Colin saw a man with long silver hair dressed in buckskin pants and tunic approaching. She leaned toward Kara.
"This is their leader."
The birdman greeted them with the gentle slaps customary in the village proper. He embraced Colin in a fatherly hug.
"The fever is over. Our ancestor's spirit must have been a help to you."
Colin nodded.
"I am glad you are home. It will be good to wed you and Richard with the temper. Everything is prepared."
"What did he say?" Richard asked.
"Everything is prepared for our wedding."
Richard scowled. "It makes me nervous when people know things that we haven't told them."
"Richard with the temper is upset. He is not happy with our preparations."
"No, it's not that," Colin said. "Everything is wonderful. It's just that we don't understand how you could know we would be here to be married. We're puzzled. We didn't know ourselves until just a couple of days ago."
The birdman pointed to one of the open pole structures shaded under a grass roof.
"That man over there told us."
"Really?"
Richard said, after Colin translated, his scowl growing.
"Well, I think it's about time we go see this man who seems to know more about us than we do."
As they turned away, Colin caught the birdman scratching a cheek to screen a smile. They had to work at making their way through the throng. The entire village was out in the open area celebrating. Musicians and dancers entranced children and adults alike. People paused to talk to Richard and Colin as they passed. Young people, especially young girls who were always painfully shy in the past, now boldly offered congratulations. It was as festive an event as Colin had ever seen. At various open pole structures where food was being prepared, people, beguiled by the different aromas, crowded around to sample the fare. A contingent of young women carried bowls and platters and passed around food. Colin saw special women at one of the cook fires preparing a singular offering served only at gatherings. No one congregated to sample it. This dish was presented only by those women, according to strict protocol, and by invitation only. Kara didn't like how close people crowded in around her charges, but she did her best to remain tolerant while at the same time watchful and prepared to react. She wasn't gripping her aegil, but Colin knew that it was never more than a flick away. Young women were carrying platters of the more traditional food to and from the pole building where the birdman had pointed them. Richard, holding Colin by the hand, pushed his way through the crowd around the platform. They finally made it to the head of the crowd at the platform. Richard and Colin froze in shock.
"Say it,"
Richard whispered. Reposing in his splendid violet and black robes, the regal effect somewhat diminished by the way his wavy white hair stuck out in its typical disarray, was Richard's grandfather. The raw-boned old wizard glanced up from the platform as young women offered him platters of food to sample. A squat woman in a dark dress and cloak sat cross-legged beside him.
"Zed!"
Richard bounded onto the platform. Zed smiled and waved.
"Oh, there you are, my boy.
You're alive. I knew you were alive."
"Well, of course I'm..."
That was all he got out before Richard scooped him up, squeezing so hard that Zed lost his wind with a whoosh. Zed's fists beat on Richard's shoulders.
"Richard!"
he squeaked.
"Bags! Richard, you're going to crush me! Leave go!"
Richard set him down, only to have Colin rush to embrace him.
"Richard kept saying you were alive, but I didn't believe him."
The woman rose up.
"Good to see you, Richard."
"Anne?
You're alive, too?"
She smiled.
No thanks to your fool grandfather.
Her knowing eyes turned to Colin. And this could be none other than the mother confessor herself. Richard hugged her before the introductions. Zed took a bite of a rice cake while he watched. Richard brought Kara forward. She spoke before he had a chance.
I am Lord Rawl's bodyguard.
Richard looked to her eyes. This is Kara, and she is more than a guard. She is our friend.
Kara, this is my grandfather, Zed, and Annalena Alderan, prelate of the Sisters of the Light.
Retired prelate,
Anne said,
pleased to meet a friend of Richard.
Richard turned back to Zed.
I can't believe you're here. This is the best surprise we could possibly have. But what's this about you knowing we were coming to get married?
Zed spoke with his mouth full.
Read it. Read all about it.
Read it? Where?
In the Jacopo treasure.
Colin leaned in.
There's writing on all that gold?
Zed waved the rice cake.
No. No, not the gold. The Jacopo treasure. The prophecies. All those scrolls, they were the Jacopo treasure. We burned them to keep them out of the hands of the Imperial Order. I read a few before I destroyed them. That's where I read the prophecy about you two being married. Anne figured out the day. She's quite knowledgeable about prophecy.
Well, it wasn't a difficult prophecy, Anne said. None of them were. That was why they were so dangerous if Jagang had captured them. He nearly did.
So you two came to destroy the prophecies? Richard asked.
Yes!
Zed threw up his hands with a huff.
Oh, but a terrible time of it we've had, though.
Yes, just terrible, Anne confirmed.
Zed shook a stick-like finger at Richard.
While you've been larking about in Aiden Drill, we've had real trouble.
Trouble? What sort of trouble?
Awful trouble, Anne said.
Yes, Zed agreed. We were captured and held in the most horrid of conditions. It was awful, simply awful. We barely got away with our lives.
Who captured you?
The Nang Tong.
Colin cleared her throat.
The Nang Tong? Why would the Nang Tong capture you?
Zed tugged his robe straight.
They were going to sacrifice us. Human sacrifices we almost were. We were in mortal danger the entire time.
Colin squinted skeptically.
The Nang Tong are daring to engage in their forbidden rites?
Something about red moons, said Alford. They feared the worst and were only trying to protect themselves.
Colin cocked her head.
Nonetheless, I will have to pay them a visit and see to this.
You could have been killed, Richard said.
Piffle! A wizard and a sorceress are smarter than a wandering band of Nang Tong, aren't we, Anne?
Anne blinked.
Well, yes, as Anne says, it was more complicated than that.
Zed turned away from her.
But it was just awful, I can assure you. And then we were sold into slavery.
Richard's brow lifted.
Slavery?
Indeed, to the Sidok. We were forced to labor as slaves. But the Sidok didn't like us, for some reason. Something about Anne being unsatisfactory, and they decided to sell us to cannibals.
Richard's jaw dropped.
Cannibals?
Zed grinned.
Fortunately, the cannibals turned out to be the Mud People. Chandelin was the one they approached. He knew me, of course, from when we were together before, so he played along and bought us to get us away from our bondage to the Sidok.
And why couldn't you get away from the Sidok?
Colin asked.
You're a wizard. Anne is a sorceress.
Zed pointed at his bare wrists.
They put magic wristbands on us. We were helpless.
He looked up.
Quite helpless. It was terrible. We were helpless slaves under the lash.
That sounds dreadful, Richard said. Then how did you get the bands off? Zed threw his arms up.
We couldn't.
Richard pressed one hand to his forehead and held the other up.
Well, they're off now.
Zed scratched his chin.
Well, now they are. The bands are held on with magic. We were smart enough to know better than to try to use magic. That would have bound them on even harder. We just had to wait without using magic until they lost their power. Once we were away from the Sidok and were burning the scrolls, they came on down and fell off.
So that was your plan all along?
Of course it was.
Anne nodded.
Trust in the Creator to reveal his plan.
Zed shook a finger up at Richard.
Magic is dangerous, Richard. As you will learn someday, the hardest part of being a wizard is knowing when not to use magic. This was one of those times. We had to find the Jacopo treasure. With all the currents of trouble about, I knew our best chance would be to do it without magic.
He folded his arms.
And it worked, too, thus proving my point.
Chandalin stepped forward.
Many soldiers came toward us.
He pointed off toward the southeast.
A large scouting party of men came to get these things that Zed burned. While he and Anne were burning them, my men and I fought off the enemy. A great battle was fought to the west against the main force of the enemy. This army of the Order was destroyed. I went and spoke with a man called Rybish, and he said that one named Nathan had sent him to destroy our enemy.
Richard shook his head.
This is all very confusing.
Zed flicked a hand.
Ah, well, you'll learn someday, Richard. This wizard business is very complicated. Someday when you decide to do something with your gift, other than sit around with your intended while I'm out risking my neck, then you'll see. By the way, what have you been up to while all the important work has been going on?
What have I been up to? Colin smiled as she put a hand on his shoulder, while Richard tried to think how to begin.
Well, I'm the Lord Rawl now and all.
Zed grunted and flopped down on the wooden platform.
Lord Rawl, indeed.
He scooped up a roasted pepper.
The paperwork must be grueling.
Richard scratched his head while Anne sat down. Zed, can you answer something for me? Why are the books in the First Wizard's private enclave stacked up in wobbly columns?
It's a telltale of sorts. I remember how they're stacked so that if anyone has touched them, I'll know it.
Zed's hazel eyes opened wide.
What? Bags! Richard, what were you doing in there? That's a dangerous place, and how did you get in there?
Zed pointed at Richard's chest.
That amulet! It's from in there. How did you get in there? Bags! Richard! Where's the Sword of Truth? I entrusted the sword to you. You weren't foolish enough to give it to someone.
Well, I couldn't travel in the slip with it, so I had to leave it in the First Wizard's enclave, so no one could get at it.
Slip? What's a slip? Richard, you're the Seeker. You have to have your sword. It's your weapon. You can't just leave it lying about places.
When you gave it to me, you told me that the sword was just a tool, and that it is the Seeker that is the true weapon.
So I did, but I didn't think you were listening.
Zed peered up at him.
You didn't mess with the books, I hope. You don't know enough to be allowed to read any of them.
Just one. Tagenricht Ostfier Most Verlaschenrich Nick Geschlechten.
That's Heide Haren.
Zed dismissed the matter with a wave.
No one knows Heide Haren anymore. At least you can't get into trouble with a book you can't read.
Zed shook his finger.
And you still haven't said how you got in there.
It wasn't all that hard to get in.
The mirth melted from Richard's face. It was a lot easier than it was getting into the Temple of the Winds. Both Zed and Anne shot to their feet.
The Temple of the Winds,
they said as one.
Temple of the Winds, Inquisition and Trial. That's what the book was. I've kind of had to learn Heide Haren.
Richard put his arm around Colin's shoulders. Jagang sent Sister Amelia there. She entered through something called Betrayer's Hall. She betrayed the Keeper to get in. She came back with magic and started a plague. It killed thousands of people. She started it among children at Jagang's instruction. We watched, helpless, while children and friends died. There was no other way. I had to go there to stop the plague, or it would have been a firestorm that would have consumed nearly everyone. One of the women who prepared the special meat approached, carrying a tray of neatly arranged dried strips. She offered the tray to Chandalin first. He was an elder now. Chandalin tore off a bite as he looked up at Richard. Richard knew what the meat was. He took a big piece. Colin had always refused to eat this dish in the past. This time, when offered, she took a piece. Chandalin watched her pull off a bite. Zed took a piece, and then the tray was offered to Anne. Colin was going to say something, but Zed shot her a silencing glance. They ate in silence a moment before Richard asked, "Who is it?"
the commander of the men of the Order who came here and attacked us to get the Jacopo treasure that Zed burned.
Anne's eyes came up.
You mean...
We fight a battle for our existence, Richard said. If we lose, we all die, and the man who started a plague among children will rule those still alive. All magic will be eliminated. Those left will be his slaves. The Mud People do this so that they might know the hearts of their enemy and save their families. Richard glared at her. Eat it, so that you too may know the enemy better. It was not Richard, but Lord Rawl who had spoken. Anne watched his eyes for a moment, and then started chewing. They all ate the strip of their enemy's flesh to know him better.
Sister Amelia, Anne finally whispered, if she has been to the Temple of the Winds, she will be beyond dangerous.
She's dead,
Colin said, haunted by the memory of it all. When Anne's questioning eyes looked at her, Colin added,
yes, I am sure.
I put a sword through her heart. She had a Dakra in Nathan's leg. She was going to kill him.
Nathan, Anne said, we must soon be off to find him. Where was this? Where is he?
Zed scowled over at Anne.
We?
It was in Tanamura, in the Old World, just after Richard came back from the Temple of the Winds. Nathan helped me save Richard's life by telling me the three chimes.
Zed and Anne's eyes widened. They looked as if they had stopped breathing. They finally glanced to each other.
The three chimes,
Anne said in a cautious voice. You mean he just mentioned the three chimes? He didn't actually tell them to you. He didn't speak them to you.
Colin nodded.
Rechan? Zed and Anne threw their hands up.
No!
They yelled together.
Didn't Nathan tell you that no one without the gift may speak the three chimes aloud?
Anne's face had gone red.
Didn't that crazy old man tell you that?
Colin scowled back.
Nathan is not a crazy old man. He helped me save Richard's life. Without the three chimes, Richard would have died when he came back from the Temple of the Winds. I owe Nathan a great debt. We all do.
I owe him a collar around his neck,
Anne muttered,
before he causes who knows what catastrophe. Zed, we must find him, and soon.
She lowered her voice to a private whisper.
And we must do something about this business.
Zed's eyes turned to Colin.
You said them silently when you did this. You said the three chimes silently. You didn't actually say them aloud. Tell me that you didn't say them aloud.
I had to. Kara remembered them and said them. Then I said them aloud a couple of times.
Zed winced.
More than once?
Zed, Anne murmured, what are we going to do about this?
Why? Richard asked. What's the problem?
Nothing you need to be concerned about. Just don't say them aloud again. Any of you.
Zed,
Anne whispered under her breath.
If she has freed...
Zed lifted a hand out to the side, touching her, silencing her.
What was I supposed to do?
Colin asked defensively. Richard had absorbed the magic from the book Sister Amelia brought back from the winds.
He had the plague. He was a breath or two away from death. He would have died within minutes at the most. Would you have had me let him die instead?
Of course not, dear one. You did the right thing.
Zed lifted an eyebrow to Anne as he leaned close.
We will discuss this later.
Anne folded her hands.
Of course. You did the only thing you could. We are all grateful, Colin. You did well.
Zed was looking more serious by the moment.
Bags, Richard! The Temple of the Winds is in the underworld. How did you get in?
Richard looked out over the celebration.
We need to tell you both the story, some of it anyway. But this is the day Colin and I are to be married.
Richard smiled. Colin thought it looked forced.
It's a hard story to tell. I'd rather tell you about it on another day. I can't just now.
Zed stroked a thumb down his smooth jaw.
Of course, Richard, I understand, and you are quite right. Another day. But the Temple of the Winds?
He lifted a finger, unable to resist asking a question.
Richard, what did you have to leave at the Temple of the Winds in order to return?
Richard shared a long look with his grandfather.
Knowledge.
And what did you take away with you?
Understanding. Zed encircled a protective arm around both Richard and Colin.
Good for you, Richard. Good for you. Good for both of you. You two have earned this day. Let's put this other business aside for now and let us celebrate the joy of your marriage.
Chapter 70. They enjoyed the company of friends and loved ones the whole day, talking and laughing, celebrating together with the mud people. Colin did her best to try to ignore the way her low-cut blue wedding dress displayed her breasts. It was hard, with the way people kept coming up to her and telling her that she had fine breasts. Richard wanted to know what they were saying all the time. She thought it best to lie. She told him that they were saying that her dress was beautiful. As the sun turned the sky golden, it was at last time. Colin gripped Richard's hand as if it were the only thing holding her on the ground. Richard had trouble keeping his eyes off her in her blue wedding dress. Every time he looked at her, a helpless smile took him. Colin's heart swelled with joy, seeing how much he liked the dress Wesselin had made for her. She had for so long dreamed of wearing it, dreamed of this moment. She had hoped so often, with all her heart, that this day would come. She had feared so often that it never would. So many times something had happened, delaying this moment. Now it was happening. Richard mimicked the mud people's words, not realizing that he was saying how fine he thought her breasts looked. He thought he was telling her how beautiful her dress looked. Everyone grinned with satisfaction when he spoke the words in their language, happy that he agreed with them. Colin could feel her face turning red. Richard looked magnificent in his black and gold war wizard's uniform. Every time Colin looked at him, a smile took her. She was marrying Richard at last. Her knees trembled under the blue dress. Kara, standing behind, gave her a reassuring touch. Wesselin, at Colin's side, beamed with pride. Savidlin stood to the far side of Richard, beaming just as much. Zed and Anne stood behind. Zed was eating something. Colin silently prayed to the good spirits that this time nothing would go wrong, and that it would at last happen. She couldn't help worrying that it would be taken from her yet again. The birdman straightened before them, clasping his hands. Behind him, the entire mud people village spread out before the wedding party to hear the vows. When all had fallen silent, the birdman began, and Colin's fear began to melt away, to be replaced with joyous anticipation. As the birdman spoke, Chandelin, at his side, said the words in the language Richard and some of the others could understand.
These two people have not been born mud people, but they have proven themselves to be one of us in their strength and in their hearts. They have bound themselves to us and us to them. They have been our friends and our protectors. That they would wish to be wedded as mud people proves their hearts. As members of our people, these two have chosen not only to be wedded before those of this world, but before the next, and in so doing have called the spirits of our ancestors to be with us on this day to smile on this joining. We welcome our ancestors into our hearts to share our joy.
Richard's hand tightened around hers, and she realized that he was sharing her thoughts. It was real, at last, and it was as they both had always dreamed, except it was better than she could ever have imagined.
Both of you are mud people, and are bound not only by your words before your people, but by your own hearts. These are simple words, but in simple things there is great power.
He met Richard's eyes.
Richard, will you have this woman as your wife, and will you love and honor her in all ways for all time?
I will, he said in a clear voice that rang out over the gathering.
The birdman looked into Colin's eyes, and she had the most profound sense that he was speaking not only as a representative of his people, but for the spirits, too. She could almost hear their voices echoing in his.
Colin, will you have this man as your husband, and will you love and honor him in all ways, for all time.
I will,
she said, a clear chime matching Richard's.
Then before your people and before the spirits, you are now wedded for all time.
All the gathered people were dead silent until Richard took her in his arms and kissed her, and then they went wild. Colin hardly heard them. It seemed a dream she had dreamed so often that it had finally come to life. To be in Richard's arms, to have him, to be his wife and he her husband for all time. And then everyone was hugging them. Zed and Anne, the Birdman and the elders, Wesselin and the other wives. Kara, with tears in her eyes, hugged Colin.
Thank you both for wearing an Aegil at your wedding. Hali, Reyna, and Denna are all watching because of that. Thank you for honoring the sacrifice of Mord Sith.
With a thumb, Colin wiped the tear from Kara's cheek.
Thank you for braving the magic of the Slift to be with us, my sister.
Everyone in the village crowded in to greet the new couple. Colin thought they might be crushed. People brought food and flowers and sincere, simple offerings of every sort. The celebration resumed around the wedding platform. Colin tried to talk to everyone and to thank everyone, as did Richard, until, as Richard was asking some of Chandelin's hunters about the battle that they had witnessed, his golden cloak billowed out. There was no wind. Richard straightened. His raptor gaze swept out over the heads of the people gathered before the wedding platform. He instinctively reached for his sword. It wasn't there. The crowd in the back fell silent. Zed and Anne both stepped up beside Richard and Colin. Kara had her Aegil in her fist as she pushed between them to get in front. Richard gently pushed her behind. The entire village fell silent, the people parting for two approaching figures. Some people grabbed their children and moved farther back as worried whispers rippled through the crowd. As the two solitary figures, one tall and one short, came closer, Colin saw that it was Shota and her companion Samuel. The witchwoman, looking as stunning as ever, strode up onto the platform, her ageless, almond eyes staying on Colin the whole time. Shota took up Colin's hand. She kissed Colin's cheek.
I have come to congratulate you, Mother Confessor, on your accomplishment and on your marriage.
Throwing caution to the winds, Colin hugged the witchwoman.
Thank you for coming, Shota.
Shota smiled, staring into Richard's eyes as she ran a lacquered nail along his jaw.
Hard fought, Richard. Hard fought. And well earned.
Colin turned to the silent gathering. She knew that the Mud people feared the witch woman so much that they wouldn't even speak her name. Colin could understand. She had felt nearly the same way herself.
Shota has come to offer her best wishes to us on our wedding day. She has helped us in our struggle. She is a friend, and I hope you will welcome her to this celebration, for she deserves to be here, and I wish her to be here.
Colin turned to Shota.
I told them that, smiling, Shota held up a hand. I know what you told them, Mother Confessor.
The Birdman stepped forward.
Welcome to our home, Shota.
Thank you, Birdman. You have my word that we will bring no harm this day.
Shota glanced to Zed.
A truce for a day?
Zed smiled a sly smile.
A truce.
Samuel's long arm reached up, grabbing for the Birdman's carved bone whistle he wore around his neck.
Mine, gimme.
Shota thunked him on the head.
Samuel, behave yourself.
The Birdman smiled. He pulled the thong and whistle over his head and held it out to Samuel.
A gift for a friend to the Mud people.
Samuel gently took the whistle. A grin split his face, showing his wickedly sharp teeth.
Thank you, Birdman, Shota said.
Samuel blew the silent whistle. He seemed able to hear the sound and was pleased by it. People began chuckling and talking again. Colin was relieved that vultures didn't appear in response to the silent whistle. Fortunately, Samuel didn't know how to call specific birds. Samuel grinned at his gift and hung it around his neck. He took up Shota's hand again. Shota's arresting gaze took in Richard and Colin. In that moment, there was no one else there. The three of them were as good as alone in that gaze.
Do not think, either of you, that just because I congratulate you, I will forget my promise to you.
Colin swallowed.
Shota.
Shota's eyes were both beautiful and frightening as she held up a silencing finger.
You both have earned this joyous wedding. I am happy for you both. I will honor your vows and protect you in any way I can, out of respect for all you have done for me, as long as you remember what I have warned you about. I will not allow a male child of this union to live. Do not doubt my word in this.
Richard's gaze was heating. Shota, I'll not be threatened. Again the finger rose, silencing Richard this time.
I do not make a threat. I deliver you a promise. I do not do it out of animosity for either of you, but out of concern for everyone else in the world. There is a long struggle ahead of us all. I will not allow any chance at victory to be clouded by what you two would bring upon the world. Jigang is worry enough.
For some reason, Colin's voice wouldn't work. Richard didn't seem to have words either. Colin believed Shota. She wasn't doing this out of malice. Shota lifted Colin's hand and placed something in it.
This is my gift to you both. I do this out of love for you both and for everyone else.
She smiled a strange smile.
An odd thing for a witch woman to say. No, Shota, Colin said. I don't know that I believe what you tell us about a son, but I know that it is not said in hate.
Good.
Wear the gift always, and all will be well. Mark my words well. Never take this off when you are together, and you will always be happy. Disregard my request, and suffer the consequences of my vow.
She looked into Richard's eyes.
Better you battle the Keeper himself than me.
Colin opened her hand and saw a delicate necklace. A small, dark stone hung from the gold chain.
Why? What is this?
Shota put a finger under Colin's chin as she stared into her eyes.
As long as you wear it, you will bear no children.
Richard's voice, strangely, seemed gentle.
But what if we...
Again, Shota's raised finger silenced him.
You love each other. Have joy in that love and in each other. You have struggled hard to be together. Celebrate your union and your love. You have each other now as you always wanted. Don't throw it away.
Richard and Colin both nodded. Somehow, Colin didn't feel any anger. She felt nothing other than relief that Shota wasn't going to do anything to harm their marriage. It had a dreamlike quality, like a formal settlement over an obscure, remote tract of ground claimed by two lands, like agreements in the council chambers over which she had so often presided. There seemed no emotion to it, a simple settlement. Shota turned to go.
Shota,
Richard said. She turned back.
Won't you stay? You've come a long way.
Yes, Colin said. We really would like it if you stayed.
Shota smiled a witch woman smile as she watched Colin fasten the chain around her neck.
That you would ask is pleasure enough, but it is a long journey and we must be on our way.
Colin ran down the steps and scooped up a pile of tava bread. She wrapped it in a square of cloth from the table. She met Shota at the bottom of the steps.
Take this for your journey, as our thanks for coming and for the gift.
Shota kissed Colin's cheek and then took the bundle. Samuel didn't try to grab it. He seemed content. Richard was suddenly there beside Colin. Shota smiled a small smile and kissed his cheek too. She had a strange, wistful look.
Thank you, both of you.
And then she was gone. Simply gone. Zed and Anne were still up on the platform along with Kara and the rest of the people. Zed turned to Richard and Colin.
What happened to Shota? We make a truce and then she just leaves without a word.
Colin's brow tightened.
She spoke to us?
Zed glanced about.
When? She was gone before she had a chance to say anything.
I had intended to speak with her too,
Anne said. Colin looked up at Richard. He looked back at Zed. She said some nice things to us. Maybe she just didn't want you to hear her saying nice things. Zed grunted a laugh.
No doubt.
Colin touched the dark stone on the necklace. She put an arm around Richard's waist and pulled him close.
"What do you think?"
she whispered. Richard stared out in the direction Shota had gone. "For now, she's right. We're together. That's what we wanted. I think that for now we should be happy that our dream has at last come true and we can be together. I'm so tired of trouble, and there is still Jagang to worry about. I'd just like to be with you for now, and love you." Colin put her head against him.
"I think you're right. For now, let's not complicate matters."
"We can worry about this another time." He grinned at her. "Right?" Colin forgot all about Shota and the future and grinned back, thinking about the now.
"Right."
The celebration went on until well after nightfall. Colin knew it would likely go on all night. She whispered to Richard that she would be happy not to have to remain for the whole thing. Richard kissed her cheek and then asked the birdman if they could be excused. They wanted to go to the spirit house. The spirit house had special meaning to both of them. The birdman smiled.
"It has been a long day. Sleep well."
Richard and Colin said their thanks to everyone, and then, in the quiet of the spirit house, in the soft glow of the low fire that always burned there, they were, at long last, alone. As they stared into each other's eyes, words were too small. Berdine stood tall and straight as she watched the double doors burst open. Like a gout of flame, they stormed into the confessor's palace, a dozen moored Sith in red leather. Soldiers scrambled across the slick marble, falling back out of the way while at the same time trying not to look hurried. They quickly established new guard positions at a safe distance. The 12 women paid them no attention. The existence of Daharan soldiers hardly registered on the mind of a moored Sith, unless they gave her trouble. The group came to a halt. Silence once again settled in the entrance hall.
"Berdine, how good to see you."
Berdine let a small smile touch her lips.
"Welcome, Rikka. But what are you doing here? Lord Rawl left you at the People's Palace awaiting his return."
Rikka's eyes swept the area before her steady gaze settled on Berdine.
"We heard that he is here now, and we decided we should be closer so that we could protect him. We left the others at the palace should he return unexpectedly. We will return with him when he goes home."
Berdine shrugged.
"He sort of considers this home now. Whatever he wishes, we are here now. Where is he so that we may announce ourselves and protect him?"
"He has gone to be married, some distance to the south."
Rikka's brows drew together.
"Why are you not with him?"
"He ordered me to stay here and see to things in his absence. Kara is with him."
"Kara. Good. Kara will not let anything happen to him."
Rikka considered a moment, her dark frown returning.
"Lord Rawl is getting married?"
Berdine nodded.
"He is in love."
The other women glanced at one another as Rikka put her fists on her hips.
"In love? A Lord Rawl in love? Somehow I can't picture it."
She huffed.
"He's up to something."
"Well, never mind. We will figure it out. What of the others?"
"Halley was killed a while back, in battle protecting Lord Rawl."
"A noble death? What of Reyna?" Berdine swallowed and forced her voice to stay level.
"Reyna died a short time ago, killed by the enemy."
Rikka searched Berdine's eyes.
"I'm sorry, Berdine."
Berdine nodded.
"Lord Rawl wept for her, as he did for Halley."
Silence echoed around the entryway as all the other moored Sith stared at Berdine in disbelief.
"This man is going to be trouble," Rikka muttered.
Berdine smiled.
"I think he would say a similar thing of you."
Colin growled at the insistent knock. It appeared that ignoring it would not make it go away. She kissed Richard and wrapped a blanket around herself.
"Don't move, Lord Rawl. I'll get rid of them."
Barefoot, she crossed the dim, windowless room. She squinted at the sudden light when she opened the door.
"Zed, what is it?"
He was eating a piece of taba bread. He had a platter of it in his other hand. He offered her the tray.
"I thought you might be hungry."
"Yes, thank you. Very thoughtful."
He took a bite of tava bread as his gaze roamed over her hair. He pointed at it with the rolled-up tava bread.
You'll never get those tangles out, dear one.
Thank you for your fashion advice. She started to close the door. He put his hand against it.
The elders are becoming concerned. They would like to know when they can have their spirit house back.
Tell them that when I'm done with it, I'll let them know. Kara, scowling her best Mord Sith scowl, stepped up behind him. I will see that he does not bother you again, Mother Confessor.
Thank you, Kara.
Colin shut the door in his smiling face. She hurried across the floor back to Richard. She set the platter aside, laid down, and enfolded Richard in her blanket.
A pesky in-law, she explained.
I heard. Tava bread and tangled hair.
Now, where were we?
He kissed her, and she remembered. He was showing her some magic.
We hope you have enjoyed our presentation of Temple of the Winds by Terry Goodkind. Copyright 1997 by Terry Goodkind and performance copyright 1997 by Brilliance Corporation. All rights reserved. For further information concerning this program or other book cassette titles, please call the following toll-free number, 1-800-222-3225. No part of this recording may be played for an audience or reproduced in any form without written permission. Address all inquiries to Brilliance Corporation, Post Office Box 887, Grand Haven, Michigan, 49417.